Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 192, called The Student Becomes the Teacher. And, of course, I'll get to that as the show progresses, so you'll know what the significance of that is. But it is the week of February 24th. 2014. Thanks for coming along. Appreciate you downloading the show, listening to the show, coming back to the show, or listening to the show for the first time. I was actually just a minute ago going, trying to get onto my external hard drive to see when the actual first podcast was that I made. And for some reason I can't get to my external hard drive for some reason. But I think I started this back in 2008, if I'm not mistaken. Here it is, episode 192. 192 episodes. I don't know where the time went, but it's been a lot of fun doing the show. And if you're a regular listener, you'll notice that there is more and more time in between episodes. But that's just the way things turn out. And I'm happy that I'm still able to put out a show as opposed to having to quit the show or put one out every quarter or something, which, you know, then you'd lose listeners. But I want to just briefly talk about the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. Because I just got an email from Ashland Tom tonight. He's listened to every episode. What I'm doing is I'm inviting you to send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you are a listener to the show, and I'd like to like you to stand up and be counted. And what that means is, and you've heard me say it before, but it's really just to do a survey of listeners, and then at episode 200 or 201 or maybe even one, you know, right around episode 200, I'm going to go through a listener roll call. And just kind of list everybody that chimed in, who they are, where they're from, and that's about it. And it's not I'm not building a database or anything like that to market anybody. I'm just really curious to know where people are from. I did this back at around episode 100, and I want to do it again, and I want to start it early this time so people have plenty of time to send me their name and where they're from. And that's really all it is. Just, you know, and I don't give last names unless someone requests it. I usually just kind of put name, maybe first name and first letter, and then where you're from. And it just kind of gives people an idea of where the other listeners are in the show, and it helps me understand where this podcast reaches. So that's at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And, of course, I also invite comments about the show, anything that you liked about it. If there's anything that you don't like about it, I don't really ask for those. I don't really ask for those comments, because I do my best to keep it pretty, you know, R-rated, PG-13, or whatever. I do my best not to piss anybody off, because there's really no point in doing that. So I've got several things to go over in the podcast this week, and then of course I got some lots of email in the email bag section of the show. The big news is really is that Rodney's home from the hospital. If you've listened to previous shows, you'll know that my good friend and former running partner Rodney had a massive heart attack about a month ago, maybe a little bit more than a month ago. On a scale of 1 to 10, kind of like an 8, and did some permanent damage to his heart. He's only 42, which is kind of remarkable. But I think if he hadn't been so maybe physically strong, as in his physique, it probably would have killed him. So he's got a lot of work to do to get back. He is home from the hospital. He's in the hospital for a couple weeks, and we're praying for him and pulling for him. And he did have to go back once to the hospital, but then he came back out, and he's at home, and he's looks like his job's going to be held for him, and he's going to rehab. And I do owe him a visit. I went over to try to visit him about a week ago, and brought a six-pack of beer over there because I heard a rumor that he was allowed to have two beers a week. So I brought him over a six-pack. Brian and I did. Brian Klein, a guy I'll talk about later in the show. And he wasn't home, so we left it at the front door. We never heard anything from him. And so I thought, well, maybe if he's not allowed to have the beer, I was going to go back over there and get it and drink them myself. But apparently he did get them. And so we're going to – I'll go over there and try to visit him again, and we'll get a report. A lot of people who listen to the show have sent me emails, some kind of offline that I'm not – that I won't mention, just because they just – you know, they were just asking him, you know, personally how he was doing. And that's very much appreciated. I do pass those good vibes on to Rodney. And all that is very much appreciated. If you're kind of a somewhat new listener to the show and you don't really know who Rodney is, just briefly, Rodney is an extremely strong and dedicated runner. We did the Keys Ultra Marathon together. We both did the 50 miler down there. We've both done some of the North Face challenges. I did the one up in Washington, D.C., which is a 50 miler. He did the one on Pine Mountain, Georgia, which they call Atlanta, North Face Challenge Atlanta. But I've been corrected by Chris Trawick. It's actually Pine Mountain, which is south of Atlanta. And I went down there for Rodney. And then he's done 100K. He's done, you know, several marathons. We've done a lot of training together. So him having a heart attack was completely unexpected and very concerning. And, you know, I've heard about this happening in people in their 40s, you know, on the surface look like, you know, perfect specimen of health. But then, you know, it turns out that their heredity gets the best of them. And that's what happens. And sometimes people die. I actually had a cousin die at age 57 from a massive heart attack about a week or so ago. 2 weeks ago, and we had this big storm, and he lives down in Mississippi. So sometimes these things are unexpected, but we're glad that Rodney's still around, and we'll keep praying for him and ask you that you do the same if praying's your thing. So yeah, let's check that off. That's on the list of stuff to talk about. So let's talk a little bit about the Hokas. I bought Hokas, and I ran in them in a race this past weekend, which I'll talk about. I got the basic Hokas. There's not really much to them, and I wish I could say what type they are because I don't remember, but I'm going to look them up right now just so you know. These are the Hoka One ones, and I really do like those. They took a little bit to get used to because they got a real big sole. No doubt about that. It took a little bit to get used to them. Matter of fact, I got the Hoka. No, it's the... Mafate 3, M-A-F-A-T-E 3. That's the actual model that I have. And I guess they're technically trail shoes. No, not really trail shoes. I'm not really sure. They work out great for me so far. What I really needed was something with some serious cushion. And they definitely have that. And I haven't been disappointed whatsoever. It just took a little bit to get used to kind of how big they are. How they don't feel big. But they look big, but unless you run looking down at your shoes, you're not really going to notice. And I've gotten used to them, and I really do like them. I recommend them for someone who's looking for a change. I was running in some Asics that were just feeling really, really flat. I don't know if they were maybe were defective or something, but I was just the constant pounding was killing me. Of course, the constant pounding is killing me anyway on the asphalt. But the Hoka shoes, for some reason, has made me feel a little bit better. Recovery's a little easier. A little easier to get up and down the stairs after a long run. And I wore them for my first race this past weekend, which I'll get to. It was a half marathon that I did. It was a trail marathon and a trail half marathon. And the shoes worked out great. And I got to wear my gaiters for the second time ever on my shoes. They worked out real good. Recommend those to anybody. I've had several people ask me about those, you know, how they're working out for you so far. And I just say, hey, so far, so good is what I say. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the races that got canceled. What a hell of a spring I've had here. I had my late winter. As you know, if you've listened to the show, you know, the Charlotte Ultra was canceled. That was going to be on February 1st. That got canceled. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast. I can't remember. So that was canceled. That was going to be a 50K down in Charlotte. I was going to meet up with Lummox down there. We were both going to run that. Not necessarily together, but, you know, both do the event. And then visit with a fraternity brother from college that lives down there. And that was going to be, you know, just a big weekend, large weekend. And drive home Sunday, the day of the Super Bowl, then sit back and watch TV all evening. Well, didn't do the race, and I think ended up just doing some other kind of training run, and then ended up sitting and watching the Super Bowl anyway. Believe it or not, we were invited over to some people's house that we hadn't been over to before, and it was real nice. But they didn't have I'm so used to watching the HD. I'm spoiled, and they didn't have an HD TV, and boy, did it look different. Not complaining, just saying that it's funny how you get used to the HD when you have it, or the digital cable. you know, it's funny how you get used to that. So when you're not watching it, it kind of looks blurry, and it's just all a matter of perspective. Had a great time. The game sucked. I mean, I wasn't a fan either way, but it just wasn't a real challenging game as it seemed. So the next so after that, I needed to find a marathon. Now I had the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon scheduled for February 15th, which was a Saturday, day after Valentine's Day. And when the Charlotte Ultra was canceled, I kind of scrounged and was looking for a way to salvage a marathon for the season. And I found the George Washington Birthday Marathon up in Greenbelt, Maryland, which was going to be on February 15th or 16th. So my plan was to, instead of running the 50K, I was going to run the half marathon, which I was already scheduled for with my friend Brian, and then I was going to add the full marathon the next day and have an ultra weekend. So my plan was to drive up to do the half marathon on Saturday with Brian, come home, recover, and then drive up Sunday morning to Greenbelt, Maryland, which is just under 2 hours from here. And it really was cool because the marathon started at 10 a.m., so that would have worked out perfect. And then, you know, run the marathon and then come home. And then I was taking the 17th off from work, which I did anyway, even though the races were canceled. Well, the Wednesday night into Thursday morning of the weekend before that, so this would have been, I guess, the 12th, 13th of February, we had a massive snowstorm down here. Now, massive in Virginia means an inch or more. 2 inches would be a massive snowstorm around here. But it snowed 6 to 8 inches, you know, where something like that. And, well, would you know, they canceled the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon, which was a good idea because otherwise you'd just be running in snow. And that since some additional snow was forecast for the Greenbelt area, they went ahead and canceled that. So my big ultra weekend was canceled, but not all was lost. The organizers for the Heritage Trail Half Marathon rescheduled it for February 22nd, and that's what Brian and I did this past weekend. Now, when I say the student becomes the teacher, what I'm saying is I'm the one that Brian thanked after the race for getting him through it. We ran the race together, and our plan was to run it together the whole time. And we came in, let's see here, I think it was 128. 228.05 was the our net time, chip time. We ran that together. Came in 110th, 111th out of, I think it was 144 total. So, and we did a run walk. We had a real good time. And, I'm yawning. I hope I'm not boring myself. I hope I'm not boring y'all too bad. The good thing about it was the course was relatively dry. Excellent. Everything was excellent, just like it was back when I ran the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K back in August of this year. Same course, just not as far out and back. Same type of support, excellent. They had aid stations for this, and you really didn't even need to carry water because they had water every mile and a half. I mean, every time you turned around, they had another water stop. And what we did was got up early and got up there, ran it, and then when it was over, we went to lunch. And Neil, you'll like this. We went to Horns, which is a local place up in King George. And Brian bought my late breakfast, early lunch, late breakfast. Bought my meal for me and thanked me for getting him through the half marathon because we did train together each weekend. And I kind of set, I don't have any problem saying, I kind of set the mileage for us to make sure he'd finish. And the reason I say the student becomes a teacher is not that I taught Brian anything, but he was actually one of my first running coaches. I guess my first running coach was my cross country coach in middle school. But what happened was back in 2006, I was training for the Monument Avenue 10K. And that started in January of that year, and Brian was one of my coaches for that through the YMCA here locally. And if you don't know what the Monument Avenue 10K is, I think it's the third largest 10K race in the country now. It's held right here in the city of Richmond. Well, I live in Ashland, which is north of Richmond, but it's, I think, the third largest race now. Last year, it eclipsed 40,000, and really a great event. It's really a big deal around here because there's so much marketing about it, and so many people volunteer, and it's really a great time. Well, Brian was my first coach, and so I guess as an adult, as a runner, and the best advice that he gave me was never refuse water. And when we were out on the course running this half marathon, I was kind of the one setting the tone. And although we ran it together, and I was sharing that with him, he said he doesn't remember saying that at all. But anyway, so I used to be the student, and he was a teacher, and then so now the student becomes a teacher, and he brought my lunch and thanked me for getting him through. And that was his comeback race. Brian is a marathoner several times over. Last time he and I did a marathon together was really the Team Doom effort back with Shamrock of Shamrock Marathon of, I think, 2010 or 2011. I can't remember, when a group of us trained together and then went all down there and kind of ran the whole thing together. So hats off to Brian. It made his comeback, and hopefully he will pick a marathon maybe to do in the fall. I think he and I kind of informally talked about finding something else to train for so we can kind of keep the weekly runs together. Because what we did is we kind of started a little bit of a tradition where we do our training run, and then we would hit this local coffee shop and just kind of sit there and visit for a little bit. And from time to time, we had some different people that came with us, and we kind of became regulars at it's called The Caboose. It's a little wine and cheese shop, but there's a guy named Bart there that works there, who makes coffee and has a little coffee side business part in there. And so we go and go there after our run and hang out and sit and talk a little bit. And we try to make sure we get the lady who brings in the fresh banana bread usually comes while we're there having our coffee. And so we try to get, I like to get the heel of the loaf of banana bread. And from what it was kind of funny because one time I went in there and said, oh, there's a heel left. Turns out there's several people that come in there inquiring if there's any heels. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody else out there is like me. They like the heel of bread. I've always liked that. So the races were canceled, but doing the half marathon was really a good time. And my hat's off to Brian for completing the training. Our longest run was a 10-mile or so on half marathon day. It was a bit of a struggle at the end, really for both of us, really. But I felt pretty good. I was just there to support Brian, and we had a great time. We met a couple people. Of course, saw Neil out there. Neil was doing double duty. He was parking people, and then he changed outfits or what. He had this blaze yellow fluorescent outfit on, and then he changed and brought up the rear and was taking pictures. So he was just gonna be in the last wave. It was just the race was overall managed very well. Same guy Vic that does the 50K. He's got a sense, kind of a funny sense of humor. And here's what they had after the race. They had fruit, bagels, vegetable soup, chicken noodle soup, all kinds of nabs, which were really good, and Krispy Kreme donuts. Of course, I had two of those, and Jamie, if you're listening to this, I know you cautioned against eating donuts. But anyway, yeah, lots of good stuff at the end. Soup, the chicken noodle soup, man, God, that hit the spot. It really did. It was still low. It warmed up a little bit, but it had a little bit of a chill in the air after. You know, after you run, you get a little chill if you don't get something around. It was a little bit of a walk to the car because the parking area we couldn't park in the regular parking area because of the mud. But I would definitely be back for this race. Everything about it was cool. You got a shirt, got a medal. It was all those. There's some competitors there, no doubt about that. They did a wave start, which was needed because this was a path. It's not the road. So you can't start everybody at one time, and I thought all that was done fine. We were in the fourth wave, I think, and everything was fine. Got past people, and same issue as before. You always have some of these people that you pass, you yield the single path, single track part to them, and they don't say anything to you. I don't know. You can listen to the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K analysis for the way I feel about some of the race leaders that ignore you when you say hello. I'm like, dude, we're not in the Olympics, you're not You're not competing for a gold medal or anything. The next big thing will be Graveyard 100. That's, I think, March 9th. I'm going to captain the finish line for that. I've done that before, although it looks like it'll be in Hatteras this year, and I'm still trying to see if Ashley and Tom will go down there with me. And then one last thing I want to mention before I get into the email bag section of the show is I ran into Scott Menzies. Now, Scott Menzies is the husband of Meg Menzies. And you may remember Meg's Miles. She's the Boston Marathoner who got hit by a car just over a month ago here in Hanover County where I live. And everybody knew her, and her funeral was a beautiful, beautiful service. Very sad, but it was beautiful. Went to that. This would have been, I can't remember when it was. I think it was early February. I hate to say it, but I just don't remember what day it happened. But anyway, it's been a couple weeks, and Scott is a police officer here in the town of Ashland, so I know him. Everybody knows him. And last Thursday, I was working kind of a 1 to 9 hours, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., so I was out running Thursday morning. And I ran into Scott in town, kind of literally. We were running on the same street and came up upon each other. So I turned around and asked him if I could run with him for a little bit, and he said sure. And he runs a lot quicker than me. So, I asked him how he's holding up, and he responded. And anyway, I asked him, we started talking about I guess the races I was doing. He asked me something about if I had anything coming up, and I said, yeah, all my shit got canceled. So I'm running this other race on the weekend. I'm really looking forward to that. And I said, how about you? And he said, I'm going to run Boston. And I said, oh, well, God, I mean, I didn't know. I was like, Scott, I didn't realize your mileage was up. I know you were been training with your wife, but I know you weren't training for a marathon. And he said, what he did is he contacted the Boston Athletic Association and obtained permission to run in his wife's place, because as you know, if you know anything about Meg and her story, you know that she was going to run Boston this year. And so anyway, he's going to be running in her place, and that's going to be a wonderful thing. That's April 21st, which is a Monday, so he's obviously got to get his mileage up. And there'll obviously probably be some media coverage of his story and the story of Meg. And obviously that's not what he's looking for, but if you want to learn a little bit more about that, that is something I'm sure that will probably be on TV. They have these human interest stories. I'm sure somebody will grasp onto that. But that being said, I felt this, I kind of just felt this need to try to help fund his trip up there. And so what I'm going to throw out there is if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and you go to the homepage there and you look over to the right to the donate button, as a joke, it says donate to my race fund. That was something my wife did. And now with the new format with Podbean, I can't figure out how to change that. But if you donate to that, hit the donate button through PayPal and you want to make a donation to that cause, I'll make sure it gets to Scott. And that can help fund his trip up to Boston. So what I'll do is I'll start that off with a $20 donation of my own, and I'll put that towards. Just make sure you, if you do the donate button there, send me an email on the side and let me know that you did it, so I'll be knowing to look for it, and I'll be knowing to earmark it for that. And I guess my goal would be to maybe raise $100 to help fund his trip up there to run in his wife's memory. Because, you know, the real sad thing is that when the earth is for the living, and life is for the living, and it's really sad, but as time goes on, the memory does fade, and it's so sometimes you have to do these things while the memory is so alive, because as time marches on, you don't remember as much, you just can't. And sometimes you try to keep someone's memory alive, and sometimes it's hard to do that. But with Scott going up there and running Boston, and with there being so many pictures and video and everything, I think he can keep Meg's memory alive for quite some time. And if you want to donate in a different way, you can just look up. I don't think there's any foundation or anything started, and I think it's just been too hard on Scott for something like that to happen. So So I'm going to throw that out there if you're interested in that. If you need to learn more about the situation, you can just look up Meg's Miles on Facebook or Meg's Miles on Google, and you'll see everything that you need to know. Bottom line was that she was killed by a doctor on his way to work. He was still drunk from the night before, and the most unfortunate thing about the whole thing was that Scott was out running with his wife when she got fatally hit by this car, and he suffered the trauma of having to see that. So go to ashlanddavid.podme.com, hit the donate button, make a donation to Scott. It doesn't go to me, it'll go to him. I'm starting that off with a $20 donation, and I guess with a goal to raise $100 so I can send him a check for that and credit the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast listeners. So that's a kind of a humble way to end the podcast here, but that's the way it is. That's what life is. It's living and the dying and trying to make sense of it all. All right, so yeah, go to Stand Up and Be Counted, ashlanddave@gmail.com. Give me your name, give me your place. And believe it or not, since the podcast was started, I've got over 200,000 hits, downloads, which is amazing. And that segues right into the email bag section of the show. All right, I heard from Sandy. She went and did the Surf City Marathon in California, which was, I think, early February. And her dog is doing better. And I'm still trying to get together with Sandy for that the interview on the 5 marathons in 5 days. And it's really just a matter of time. I'm having trouble finding time to really do that. In fact, I got an email from Alex. Also, same thing about that. Just trying to find the time to. I don't really know, where the time goes, but that's just kind of the way it goes. I did hear from Alex. He finished his first 100-mile race in the Javelina 100, and that's I want to try to do an interview with that, and I want to do one with the five marathons in 5 days. The biggest issue being it's hard to find time where my house is quiet in the evening, and that's really the best time for me to do these marathons. So anyway, I'm going to post a blog that Alex did about the Javelina 100 or Javelina 100, whatever it's called. He says he doesn't feel like it's his best riding, but nevertheless, I'm going to include the link at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And that way, if you're interested in reading about Alex's experience doing the 100-miler, Alex has been listening to the podcast for quite some time, so he's a regular listener. And if you listen to the show and he listens to the show, then obviously you have something in common with Alex. And so please check that out. That'll be at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Alex wanted to reach out about Rodney. Yeah, appreciate that, Alex. I'll make sure I pass that on. Well wishes for the community and family. That really means a lot. And, Rodney is surprised when he hears that there are people that, care about him, because I talk about it so much in the podcast. And in some ways, I've heard from some listeners that who run with the podcast, even though they never met any of us in person, it's, this cast of characters from Ashland, Virginia, this little town in the center of the universe here that, brings a little laugh or a smile to some people's faces from time to time. And so that's well appreciated. Heard from Ryan, and he's been obviously listening. I'm going to put him on. I think I've got him on the list here, Ryan. Ryan hails from Canada, and he's actually a former Virginian, and he's actually part of Team Incognito, which is pretty cool. He lives up there now, and he sent me a picture here recently of him doing a race in negative 20 degrees. I'm guessing that was Fahrenheit. I'll have to check that down. Let me see here. Negative 20 degrees Celsius, which is minus 4 Fahrenheit. I think that would be the other way around, wouldn't it? If it's negative 20 degrees Celsius, that would be more. Oh, negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit is 32. Oh, gosh, I can't even do the converter. But he did a couple races, or a couple upcoming ones. One is called the Crave Chick Chaser, which ladies get a 4-mile head start, then the guys chase them down, and then Crave Cupcakes are some of the best in Calgary available after the race. And then he does one called the Cobb Cinnamon Bun Run, And despite the name, this isn't another naked race. And the reason I say that is because Ryan has done a naked race before. He says you run 3.4 miles, eat a small cinnamon bun, run the mile 6.4, eat another bun, then finish at 8 miles. Says it sounds much easier than a dozen glazed donuts. The event also has a half marathon, half relay. Got you on the list there, Ryan, for Stand Up and Be Counted. And you also mentioned something here about the Krispy Kreme challenge that you've done before. This is if anybody's ever out there's ever thought about doing that. He says that he's got some advice. He says what you do, because he's done it before, you get the donuts down as quickly as possible. He says he thought he got three at a time for most of the dozen, and because he said it takes your brain a little bit to catch up to your satiety, I can't pronounce that, satiety, which is your full feeling. So the key is to eat them all before you realize the discomfort. And so if anybody out there has thought about that, definitely recommend that you try that. Ryan also sent me another email saying that everybody in Canada got up at 5 a.m. to hit the bars for the gold medal hockey game. And he ran, I guess, let's see, what was the upcoming race was the Crave Chick Chaser. Says he passed 16 out of the 30 ladies to finish 24 out of 46 overall. Finished in 40 minutes, which was, hey, that's not bad, man. You finished 8 miles in 40 minutes. That's not, oh, no, that was for the, I'm lost. The Crave Chick Chaser was 5 miles, so he did finish in 40 minutes, which was pretty good. 10th out of 16 for the guys. But it was a picture that he sent me, said everything. His face on it, just the grimace on his face. So heard from Dr. Smitty, and big news out of from Dr. Smitty. Big news. He is going to be crewing a friend at Western States this year. Outstanding. His friend Steve Spears from Virginia Beach competed at the Rocky Raccoon 100. At the beginning of the month, and finished in 15:26, in the top three, which was fourth overall, and then first Masters. He said the top three are an automatic entry into Western States through the Montreal Ultra Cup. The second place person was Ian Sherman, but since he already had an entry, it slides down to fourth. So Steve got in, and Dr. Smitty is going to get the crew for him at the end of June, which is very exciting. And, Greg, man, I don't really know what to say to you for that, but, man, I hope you get some great pictures, and I cannot wait to hear how that goes. Really am excited to hear about that. And what would be really cool is if you were able to do any kind of, I don't know if you can do that as a crew member, some video from the trail, but that would be really cool if you could do a video from the trail and kind of put that together in any kind of movie format and send me a copy, because I'd really like to see that. And Greg also mentioned that maybe I could come down and run Shamrock if I still want to get a spring marathon in. He's doing the Tidewater Striders 20 miler this past weekend. I think what I'm going to do, Greg, is just bag it. I'm going to put you down. Oh, I got you docked on there already for the Stand Up and Be Counted. I think I'm just going to bag the marathon idea. One thing I forgot to mention, I'll get back to you in a minute, Greg, with Ryan's email, is with the wave start at the Dahlgren Half Marathon that I just did over the weekend, they kind of did a sexist thing. They let all the guys start first, unless you were competing for prize. They had some prize money. I don't know how much it was. So then, you know, if a lady was going to do that. But then they had all the guys start 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to, I guess, 50 and over. And then they started the ladies. So, of course, we knew we would get checked. Got checked plenty of times, me and Brian did. And I knew that would happen because we weren't out there to race. We were just out there to get to the finish. But I don't know if that really counts or not. I think that's like getting double checked if you have a couple minutes lead. But, you know, some of these ladies run quicker than I can. I mean, what do you expect? Just because I'm a guy doesn't mean I'm going to run faster than women. I don't know why would you think that would happen. It's just, I don't know. Not really possible. But anyway, getting back to you, Dr. Smitty. I'm just going to bag the spring marathon idea. And would you believe I was actually looking at some 50-milers? I don't even know what I was thinking or why I'm thinking that. I don't know. Maybe I should just plan to run a 50 instead of a marathon, and that would change my whole way of thinking, that's for sure. But anyway, thanks for the email. Saw heard from Steve Buani, who I've gotten to know a little bit here in the Ashland area, and he sent me a picture of a bumper sticker that he saw in a car in Richmond, and it says, "Run Ashland first, the center of the universe." He says, "I must have one. Have you seen this before?" And my response to him was yes, Steve, I made those a few years ago. I had 50 of them printed out. I put them on a table at a local 10K, and people gobbled them up, and I still see them around town and in Richmond. I did have one left that I sent to him, and I was able to get that sent over to him. I'm glad he got it. And he also sends out his regards for Rodney, and no doubt about that. You know, I'm sure that with all these people pulling for you, Rodney, I think you know, people really, if you're listening to the show, I think that had to have helped. You know, everybody sent us all these good vibes your way. So, Steve, thanks for that email. Very kind of you to include, you know, remember Rodney. And not last, but not, and definitely not least, because I heard from Richard Yarp out of the Woodlands, Texas, another original listener. And I think I've got you, Richard, already. I'm not sure if I've got Richard Yarp on here or not. Let me check my list here. No, oh, yeah, Richard Yarp out of the Woodlands, Texas. He says, "Dave, I was able to listen to both new podcasts today. I was stunned when you mentioned Rodney's heart attack. I feel like I know him from all of your mentions of runs together. Suffice it to say, I've already said some prayers for him and his family. Thanks for the note back and the mentions on the podcast." He complimented the excellent tribute to Meg and her family. "I was only able to run a short distance today due to a bad head cold, but I still got out there to pay my respects. And I hope that from here on out, that only good things come out of the center of the universe. You've had a boatload of sadness. Definitely need something good to come. Take care, Richard." Well, Richard, thanks again. Really do appreciate that. And again, I'll pass all those nice sentiments on to Rodney. And it was kind of weird because at the same time, the people that knew Rodney Bardwell were trying to help him and his family because he suffered this massive heart attack and they wasn't really sure if he was going to live. And then the very next morning is when local runner Meg Menzies got hit and killed by the car. And so it was just an awful week. You know, this is a small community here, you know, 7,000 people that live in the town, and half of those are smokers, so the other half probably have, you know, a good 500 runners in there somehow. And it was just an awful, awful thing. So I just want to throw that out again. Scott Menzies is going to be running in his wife's memory up in Boston this year for the Boston Marathon. I got permission to do that from the BAA, so everything's legit and above board. And like I said, there's probably going to be media attention focused on that. So if you want to learn more about that, I'm sure that if you watch the marathon on TV that day, they'll probably have some kind of human interest story about it, if that's something Scott decides to do. He's not in it for any kind of publicity. Like I said, there's no foundation or anything to try to raise money for. So all I was going to do was offer to the listeners of the podcast, if you feel inclined to want to make a donation to try to offset some of the costs for him to travel up there with obviously his parents, her parents, and some of the kids would probably go up there, as well as some other family members, just to celebrate her life. I think a decent thing to do is to, you know, help offset that. And they're not poor by any means, but at the same time, it's something we can do to help. And the way to do that is to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, go to the donate button, which you'll see at the right-hand side of the screen if you scroll down. It says donate to my race fund. How about donating to Scott's race fund? And if you send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com along with that donation, I'll make sure that gets to him. And what I'm going to do is open up the donations with a $20 donation, and let's see if we can raise $100 to help Scott offset his costs. I'd like to be able to write him a check for $100 and say, hey, you know, this is for you to spend on your trip to Boston to honor your wife's memory. So that's it for this week. This is Ashland Dave. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, my podcast studio on the counter in my kitchen. Ashland, Virginia, Central Virginia, center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.